Hi guys, welcome everyone to the show. And in today's episode, we have Gwen Johnson on the Healthy Style podcast. Gwen is a functional medicine health coach, a mom to two zesty ones, and has been using food as medicine to support her husband's autoimmune disease for over 5 years now. So welcome, Gwen. Welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell our audience a little bit about what you do and what got you to this wellness space?
Yeah, well, I've always been into just, I feel like I've always been into, I don't know, holistic lifestyle. I grew up a total hippie. So, you know, always really into food and running around in the wilderness and being connected to all the things. And I really got into functional medicine when my husband was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, and which is an autoimmune disease that attacks your thyroid. And so he chose to go the functional medicine route, and it's kind of been like, I just fell in love with it. I loved the approach to how it impacts all areas of your life. And we just got right into it. It's amazing.
Wow. How long ago was that? So you said 5 years, right?
Yeah. So 5 years ago for that. And we had like his health journey was a bit of a decline at, over quite a few years. And we had been experimenting with a lot of different things. And because I was such a foodie, I've always been kind of a foodie. I was always experimenting like with different things, like going gluten-free and going sugar-free and doing the whole 30 and being plant-based and kind of just always exploring something and like bringing my kids along for that journey. So now they're 10 and 7. And I remember when my son Weston, who's 10 now, he was like 3 or something. We were doing the whole 30 for the first time. And nice. He was just like, but he did it. Such a champ.
That's amazing. So your whole family's into it, which is always a good time, you know, because you get to grow together. So I'll be completely honest, I don't know much about functional medicine, so why don't you explain to us like what it is, and is it something like you have to be sick and then sort of use it, or is this like a lifestyle? How do you use it for your kids and all of those things?
Such good questions. Okay. So I think there's so many entry points to functional medicine. The concept is that functional medicine looks at the root cause. So if you are presenting with a health concern, so something like an autoimmune disease is a great example. They're not looking at like, okay, so you have an autoimmune disease, let's treat the specific symptoms, which first for my husband was, you know, Hashimoto, or like was, whatever, like his thyroid was tanking. Hypothyroid. Sorry. I totally forgot the word. And then, so they're looking always for the root cause. So this very much has like a foundation of looking at sleep and diet and stress management and movement plans and even things like connection and relationships and how all of these things impact our health, and viewing diseases as kind of as a window into something being out of whack in your physical body or emotional state. So it's very, and they look at, you know, the whole arc of your life, not just how it's presenting now. I really like to use it as a framework of kind of preventative medicine, which is another huge part of functional medicine. You know, they're really looking to help people optimize their health before they're on, you know, 20 different medications treating 20 different things. Did that make sense? I feel like I just could rant on about it way too much. Uh-oh, you're on mute, Michaela.
Sorry, there you go. I was drinking coffee and I was like, I don't want my audience to hear me gulp. So anyway, no, I was saying I can really relate to that. I went to IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and we, you know, they really teach us how health is more than just what we eat and how we exercise, that it is how deep and intimate our relationships are. And are we happy in our career? And, you know, do we have a spiritual practice, a daily practice, and all of those things that truly make up our life. And, you know, I had a client yesterday, we've been working together for 4 months. And when I started with her, I mean, she's a totally different woman now. And we focused on, of course, the basics, and then it, you know, goes into different layers. And she went from taking 12 medications, like for her heart and her blood pressure and all of those things. She's like, Michaela, she's like, I only take like one main one and then like another one every once in a while. And she's like, my blood pressure used to be like over 200. Now the highest is like, it's like 125, 130. Like, she's like, like health-wise, she's like, I've never felt better. I feel strong and all of those things. But, you know, it's like you said, the us being ill or something being off is not permanent, and it is a window to treat something in our, you know, in areas in our life. It's all connected. So is that what it is? It's kind of like, is it like a similar thing, like that you focus on different areas of the life?
Totally. Yes, totally. And so the area that I work mostly inside of is this area of like reducing inflammation, which can be caused, you know, I do a ton of work around gut health, mm-hmm. And stress management and things like that, and sleep. Those are mm-hmm. probably my three like big ones. But it's all, of course, intertwined. But
yes.
So for example, like for my husband, he was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, and the cause of it, and this is a cause for so many diseases now, is his microbiome, his gut health was just a complete hot mess. He was full of inflammation. And so his autoimmune system was just tanking, essentially, just like in hyper overdrive. Mm-hmm. And so for him, the treatment plan was very much, you know, we did a therapeutic food plan, which was pretty intense,
okay,
but amazing and transformational. Mm-hmm. And then he owns his own business. He's an entrepreneur. And with that comes like a pretty high stress load. So a ton of work around that. And so he was able to, within a month, his numbers were almost back to normal. So wow. He has essentially put his autoimmune disease into remission. And now it's very fine tuning. Like, he just recently started to experiment with seeing if he could take some medication that would actually maybe help increase his energy, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But it's not, you know, so it's pretty amazing what we can do proactively to support our health. And to really heal ourselves.
And so I have a question. What were his symptoms that he was having?
Oh my gosh, such a good question. Okay, so with the thyroid comes so many crazy symptoms. And I think many autoimmune diseases are like this, but it presented like with joint pain, skin issues, hair loss. He's tinnitus, so like ringing in his ears. He had... I'm always like, can I tell everybody everything? And he's like, yep. He had severe IBS. He mm-hmm. had, just such a crazy slew of symptoms that seemed so unrelated. Like, when he went to see his regular doctor, he was like, I don't know what's going on with you. You're a hot mess. Mm-hmm.
So did he have to go to a functional medicine doctor? That was my next question, because I feel like regular doctors, and I do find the value of them, like a checkup, getting your blood work done, all of those things, they can only go so deep and they only have so much time with you. And my conversation with my client yesterday was like, look how long you've been to the doctor and they kept on giving you medicine. And here she's thinking like, oh, another medicine, and feeling so depleted and lost and not supported. And like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm taking this medicine and it's not helping, right? And it's like adding on and adding on. And I said, well, your doctor didn't have time to sit down with you and talk about your lifestyle. She's like, you know what? You're right. They did tell me to release stress, but she's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. What the hell is that? Totally.
So that is it. And you know, that is all that they told her, and then sent her home with medicine more and more each time.
Yeah.
You know, and it made her feel off. She was like, it messed up my digestion. It made me feel groggy and all of those things. And, you know, for anybody listening, I know we all have someone who's struggling with something, or we've struggled with something. Like, there is that way out. There is that hope. We have to find somebody that understands sort of like this way, this approach of like this bigger than a doctor approach, right?
Yes.
And totally. Work through all these different things, because not only will you resolve that, you're also just gonna, your world is gonna expand and feel so much better about just living.
Yes.
We're not meant to suffer.
That's sort of, I'm like, one of my biggest goals is to really empower people to take charge and take control of their health and their happiness and their life. And in a way that, you know, is going to have huge impact. And so to circle back, you were asking about, so he originally saw his doctor, who actually did test his thyroid, which is unusual, because thyroid issues present in women. Like, one in, I don't know, 5 or 10 women have a thyroid condition, mostly undiagnosed. But for men, it's kind of rare. So bless his practitioner's heart for testing that. And we were really lucky because there's a functional medicine doctor that works in that same clinic. And so he was able to go and see her before he started on any medication. But, you know, the whole medical community, which, you know, there's definitely such a place. Like, I love regular medical doctors. They're amazing. But to your point, you know, they just don't have the time. And also, it's not as sort of like studied and in your face that you really can heal so many ailments and so many diseases with lifestyle choices. It's a lot of like, you have this symptom or this disease, you take this medication, and yeah, like, it can become quite a medication soup.
Yeah. I know. So I want to get into optimizing health. And you mentioned, you know, your main things are gut health, reducing inflammation and stress. So let's break it down into each area. And can you share with us some tips, something that our listeners can walk away with and maybe get inspired to start doing today? Like, what can we be doing in these different areas?
Yeah, I love that. So I actually look at the whole foundation of health, those sort of the essentials for health, as acts of self-care, because a lot of times it can feel like we just need to do these things, and it's kind of, the mindset around it can be fairly negative, and like a struggle. But I really like to reframe it into this, like, this is self-care. This is the foundation of self-care. Like, it's not about a mani-pedi. It's like,
yes,
about, you know, exploring different ways of eating that allow your body to actually feel a certain way. And just, to me, I always start with food because it's such a powerful thing that can have such impact really quickly. Like, I'm sure, Michaela, when you're working with clients and they're doing some kind of a gut reset or some kind, you know, eating intentionally, usually after the first week, they're like, oh my God, I did not know how bad I felt until I felt better.
Yes.
So powerful. And there's so many different entry points to that, but I always just encourage like experimenting with different things. So if you, you know, if you're feeling really unwell or you're feeling like super exhausted or run down or whatever, just the act of removing something like gluten, which I'm not hating on gluten, but can be an inflammation causing ingredient for a lot of people. You can start to feel almost within days like, oh, and I think a lot of it can be just around that intentionality. So I don't really promote any like dramatic, crazy, I don't know, ideas around nutrition. It's just very like, get back to the basics, shop the outside of the grocery store, mm-hmm. eat more plants. You know, if you eat meat, source really high quality meat.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple. I could definitely talk about food for days, but when it comes to sort of those foundations, looking at sleep, it's just, there's so many different things that we can tweak around our sleep. And the reality is that our sleep impacts everything that we do. So if we're not getting adequate sleep, I know I read that you like 9.5 hours. I was like, yeah, you do. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Just knowing what my sleep.
Yes. And knowing what it feels like when you are prioritizing sleep, like it is an act of self-care, you know, you're going to show up with way more mental clarity. You're going to be able to naturally be more resilient and manage stress. You're going to be more patient. You're going to actually, you know, digest your food better. Your body's not in a survival mode. So it's so powerful. And kind of a weird thing, because I feel like we're hopefully moving out of this time where people are like, the busier I am, the better. And 80-hour work weeks is a sign of success and all the things.
I am the complete opposite. It's so funny. I'm like, I hate to feel depleted. I don't like to feel like I'm waking up tired. And so I've done that for long enough. And then I said, no, like there has to be another way. I have a list of things that I do. And it's probably quite a long list if I say it out loud, but it's accumulated over time, you know? And I feel like after I had my daughter, which was almost 6 years ago, it pushed me to say, okay, do I want to wake up extremely tired, or do I want to feel like the best mom and the best businesswoman and the best person I could be? And so that meant for most of these years, I go to bed almost like with her. You know, like very early. I'm like such a grandma and I don't care. And there are days I give myself a few days a week where I'll make a cup of tea and I'll watch like one Netflix show. I never go past like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I look at the time. I say, this is my self-love. And I say, okay, it's even though it's hard, right? Cause when you're in it, you're like, oh, I could do another half hour. And, you know, even yesterday, and then like, I lay down and I have a process of falling asleep where I've never shared this, but it's like, I visualize like where I want to be and what I want and sort of like marinate in that. Mm-hmm. And that relaxes me and I'm asleep before I know it. I do a couple of breathing exercises, like 4-7-8 breath, and think of things I'm grateful for. And I wake up like just recharged.
I love all of that so hard, because I think especially as moms, and like I was total victim to this for so long, we think like after our kids go to bed, we're like, this is me time. Mm-hmm. This is the time for me to do all the things. And then we, you know, like inevitably, like it can look like such unhealthy things, you know, like doom scrolling or snacking on like potato chips or, all, you know, all the things like binge watching.
And I've done that and I felt terrible. I felt like I'm not a drinker. So I actually felt like hungover the next day.
Yes.
And then inflamed. And I said, what's the purpose of this? So I actually swapped out my addiction to like binging food unconsciously. And I've struggled with food addictions like in my late teens, early 20s. And through yoga and meditation and all of that, like I basically, it just dissolved. It went away.
Amazing.
And, you know, so I know the struggle of like thinking about food and needing it to cope, or emotional like eating and all of that. And I've done some work around it. I've worked with a coach, and just the understanding about it, like what actually happens, that it's like the daughter goes to sleep, it's a trigger. Like it pulls a trigger to, okay, now it opens up this, like, what do I have? And the nice seeing the couch, you sit down on the couch and then you do it. Just understanding that that's actually what I was doing, I was able to say, okay, let's set up a different trigger. She goes to sleep. You know, I wash my face. I do my, put my legs up the wall. And it just like shifted a little by little, where now, like, I might have like a dark chocolate or something. If I really want something sweet, I'll make like a hot cocoa or a turmeric latte, but that's it. I don't eat past 8 o'clock, and it's made the biggest difference.
Yeah. I was listening to your episode on your daily habits, and I was like, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. So I think it's really powerful to understand too, that when we're looking at trying to prioritize our health, things like messing with our natural sleep rhythm ends up messing with our cortisol release, which ends up messing with our, you know, stress management techniques, which ends up messing with our food cravings, which ends up messing with our sleep habit and our, you know, like energy. So we are not motivated or have any kind of storage of energy for things like movement and engaging with the people we love. So it's so powerful when we look at those foundations of health to recognize, like, everyone's going to have a different entry point, but anywhere that you start putting that love and attention, as in, like, you know, when I hear you talk, I'm like, oh, it's just such a beautiful gift to yourself to take care of yourself in that way. And what is better self-care than literally taking care of your meat bag?
Yes.
So gross.
No, 1000%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, for some people, you know, and I'm sure you find this with working with clients as well, they're not ready to make changes necessarily in their sleep habits, but they'll start with food, or maybe they'll start with meditation. I actually heard you mention a while ago, like, doing, before you get out of bed, just 1 minute of, you know, intentional breathing. And I'm like that. I'm like, I tell my clients that all the time. I'm like, those little acts end up creating a shift.
But I don't think we can't talk about it enough. That's the thing. I think it's not just like, you know, reading an article and like knowing it. You actually have to put it in place. And a lot of times I have, like, you know, I create these different like cute resources, because it actually gets them to put pen and paper down to like write down the routine. What do you, and I mean, cause I know this is what helped me when I started my journey when I was like 22, 23, I remember reading The Secret, and it said, you know, write down your ideal life. And I wrote down, I wake up at 6, I drink a smoothie, I work out. And I did none of those things, but I knew the person I wanted to become. And I knew that the person has to do these things. And little by little, like, I just added fitness into my life, like, you know, like yoga and walking and like whatever worked for me, whatever I enjoyed, you know, and trying different things out. But like, we have to get clear, and not just like, oh, because Michaela or Gwen said it, just like, if we say something and it resonates with you, test it out, because we probably already said 100 things here. You can't, it's impossible to try them all. But if there's always that one thing, like, even I know when I listen to a podcast, I always walk away with one thing that I end up trying. And this is how I was able to accumulate so many things throughout the day. Right.
Yes. And that's such a good message. Like, it's so, because I think our natural go-to is to really try and do all the things at once. And then inevitably we fail, because that's just too big of a leap. And, you know, as a coach, we really know that it's like, it's just about those micro shifts. It's just about, you know, that 1 minute of breath work before you get out of bed, bringing or becoming clear on who you want to be and what your life looks like, which I do find so many people have such a hard time with, because we're just stuck in doing and going and being all the things to all the people that, when, you know, when you're like, well, what do you want your life to be like in 3 years? People are like, holy shit, what? I don't know. And I get it. Like, I get it, because I have been there and I am so compassionate to it. And yeah, it's a thing.
I totally agree with that. Except, like, and for me, it's the thing that excites me, because then I can think like, oh, I'm not staying here forever. Thank God. Like, because we always like, you know, as a spiritual being and having a practice, like, I always want to expand. I always want more, and not necessarily in like things and physical things, although yes, some certain things I do want, but it's more about just the life experience and like how I want to view the world and how I want to live and how I want to show up, how I want to wake up. Like all of those things are so, so, so important.
Like creating a future that you're so excited about that it creates motivation inside of you.
I think we're creating no matter what. You're either creating the same thing every day or you're creating and expanding and thinking bigger. We're always creating.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I think that it's so amazing to understand that it's like, you don't have to start tomorrow and change everything about your life and do everything all at once. You can really just start with, you know, having a smoothie for breakfast instead of a muffin and a caramel macchiato or I don't even know what's happening.
Absolutely. So I would love to know, how do you start your mornings? What are your morning rituals and evening rituals? Because I am like a sucker for like knowing what people do and what works for them. And it just inspires me. Cause for me, even though I have like set things in the mornings, like I read, I meditate, I move, I, you know, spend time with my daughter, plan out my day, like all of those things, I like to not be so rigid. I like to just like try different things as well, you know, because if it's boring, like I don't want it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so good. So, we overlap in a lot of ways, I feel like, but so I'm really intentional. I wake up, I realized when my son was tiny that I really needed to make time, you know, like such a classic parent move where we're just like, I have no time to do any of this stuff.
We have the time though. We do.
Yes. And that's what I was like, wait a minute. I can't expect anyone else to come up with this time for me. I need to figure out where I'm going to make the time.
A good one.
And so talk about like, I became really intentional, kind of crazy about bedtime because I wanted to be able to get up an hour before my newborn, essentially. Mm-hmm. And have time for myself. Now it started with maybe, I think I was like, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, I could do whatever the hell I wanted. Yeah. And I think that created such a ripple out effect. So what it looks like now is I wake up usually an hour and a half. So somewhere between 5:30 and 6 in the morning.
Amazing.
Before my family gets up. And it's sort of I realized at some point that if I did the same thing for too long, it gets boring and I would lose motivation and excitement and enthusiasm. So that was important, but I was like, I'm not giving up that hour and a half because that's my time. So what it looks like now is I go for movement in the morning. We live right on some trails. So I go for a run or a walk or whatever first thing with like a silent, like intentional sort of just breath work, connect with the day, connect with the forest. And then I'm a total podcast nerd or audiobook or whatever. So I'll finish out maybe, you know, another, like it's usually around 40 minutes. And then when I get back, I do like in very intentional meditation where it's guided and usually really about building the mindset that I want to have for the day. And then I fast until usually around 10:30, 11. It's a little bit, I don't do it every day, but usually like 5 days a week, I will fast until then. And then I break my fast. People who follow me on social media will laugh because like pretty much every day with like a giant bowl of sauteed cabbage and vegetables.
Nice. And some kind of
protein. It's like,
love that.
I eat the same thing every day.
Well, that's what you posted yesterday. And I was like, she is fucking right. She posted yesterday her bowl of like salad and I think egg and things like that. And I was like, well, yeah, this is basically what I eat every day. And you said this, like, if you want to know what a health coach eats every day, like, this is it. Like, it's the same thing because it works, you know, it's the protein, it's a healthy fat. That is ultimately what's going to make you feel amazing.
Yes.
And, and then you can indulge and then you could have other things because
it's so amazing to start our day. So like one of the most powerful things we can do is start our day with a savory type breakfast. It will regulate our blood sugar throughout the day, just having that savory.
Love that. So breakfast. What is your favorite, like, what is your main breakfast that you do?
My main breakfast is I make a batch cook, like a huge thing of it in the beginning of the week, which is like sauteed veg. And I like to try and create a variety in there because phytonutrient diversity, you know, it's going to help feed our microbiome the best.
So do you like, let's talk about the details. Do you cook on like coconut oil or avocado oil?
I usually do. So I cook it slow and low. So with olive oil, and then I will do like a whole bunch of green and purple cabbage. I do garlic. I do onions. I do carrots, broccoli, celery, cauliflower if I have it, like whatever, just super plant heavy.
I'm gonna make this today or tomorrow. Okay.
And then where we live right now, so I'm like, because I grew up a total hippie, I'm like, okay, I am a hippie, so I add things like dandelion greens from the from the lawn.
Nice.
And then I make a huge batch of that. It keeps super well. You just warm it up in a cast iron frying pan.
Okay.
Like a portion of it. And then I cook it, have it with an egg and salsa and like.
Do like avocado, hot sauce, whatever. Do you season it with just salt and pepper?
Yes. And you can like, because I use the onions and garlic, it's just, it's so delicious. It's not at all what like you would.
It's not bland. Right.
Yes. It's so flavorful. And, you know, things like cabbage and stuff is so amazing for regulating hormones and just so powerful for our health. So I'm always like really intentional about that. And it lasts for a long time. So that's, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. And then I usually do like, I'll often do a smoothie in the later afternoon. So like a little bit reverse sort of to what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not like, I'm kind of hungry, but I'm not really hungry. And I know we're going to have dinner soon.
Yes.
And then in the evening, I just, I'm pretty protective of my evenings as well. Like it's, you know, I try and connect with the kids. It's always a little bit crazy because they're doing a million things and in a million different things and going in all the directions.
Yeah.
But the end of the evening, you know, is like my time for reading or journaling. And I usually try and like slip in. Like at bedtime, I'm the same. I'm like, I want to go to bed with intentional thoughts. I want my brain to be in that, living into my desired self. And I think it's the best. It's so powerful. So it's pretty funny because anytime, like I specifically remember starting to live like this and being like, this is hilarious and also kind of ridiculous. And who knows what will happen, but that was like, you know, a couple years ago. And now it's, I actually just crave it. My brain is like, I want that positivity. I want to be intentional. It feels so good. And that's why I think that when we look at taking care of ourselves in these ways, it's so powerful to have that reframe of like, this is self-care. This is what we can do to really support ourselves going forward.
It's amazing. And living
a beautiful life.
And there's so many things, like you mentioned, are free to do. Like you don't have to go to a spa or, you know, go to, you know, book a 2-week vacation from the kids and retreat or whatever. You literally can infuse so many things into your day. It's actually quite amazing. And like my whole day is a self-care ritual. Like it just ends up being that way. And
I think that this, I'm totally going to interrupt you because I think it's so powerful to have that awareness that whatever we're doing, if our thoughts and our energy behind it is one of self-care and self-love and self-kindness, then we could literally be doing anything. Like I have a client who now she's folding laundry and she's like, this is my me time. And she's just so, and I'm like, hallelujah, girl. Like I got some laundry you could fold because that is not my me time. But you know, like going to the grocery store and people are like, oh, you know, like this is just basic. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's basic. It's, if we can attach that time at the grocery store to listen to our favorite podcast or be in silence or whatever, like that is rejuvenating soul work that
it is
sustains you throughout the day. It's not complicated. It's a beautiful gift.
It
the
is.
Energy it and is. Attention behind the actions is so huge.
It is. And I'm all about, like, it's funny. I'm doing some writing now and looking back at my childhood, I realize, you know, I've always had this like anxiety and this certain feeling that I try to, you know, calm down now as an adult through meditation. Just because of like just life. And I think we all have some of that, but like I can literally vividly see that like feeling and that heaviness. And think of it, like we sort of grow up and we carry this throughout our childhood and teenage years and adult life. And then more shit gets piled on and we never deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest thing right now is like, how can I calm my nervous system? And it's not just doing it once a day. It's like, it's all day. So yeah, it is self-care like that I'm doing. Like I just laid in a sauna blanket for, you know, 45 minutes, but like I was listening to a book and then I was meditating and then I was breathing and then I took a cold shower, and it's all with the intention to calm that nervous system. So then I can show up and have this like present time and chat with like, you know, with amazing women like you, or just like show up as my best self, like fully without yeah. like any, I don't even know what it is. It's like, it's this like stagnant energy that just doesn't belong to me, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I love what you mentioned there, because it sounds like, and you mentioned it earlier, just having that awareness, like bringing awareness to, you know, because some people are like, they're working full-time jobs and they're on the go all the time. It's like, you can do this work on your commute. You know, you can, and I have been here where I'm like, kids, we're have to drive and do all these things, and I am going to put on a meditation for yes. us all to hold space for in the car, because mommy's about to lose it and I need to build some resilience back up into this vessel.
Yes. That's a regular conversation with my daughter. And I said, mommy needs 5 minutes to meditate. I feel out of alignment or whatever. And she knows.
Yes. She knows
I'll come back a better person.
Yes. And I think it's a beautiful gift for us to give to our kids too, in that capacity. But I think that the first step is always really just looking for that awareness of where the friction is in our life, you know, recognizing like, oh man, I am packing around a lot of trauma from my childhood, or I have tons of unresolved issues. And, you know, this loops into functional medicine. When we work, a lot of times we're looking at, well, what was your childhood like? You know, if you work with a functional medicine practitioner, they want to go all the way back to in utero and be like, well, what was your mom's pregnancy like? Mm. And what were the traumas, and what were, did you have, you know, mold, toxin exposures, all these things, because all of that dramatically impacts our life experience. And, you know, if we suddenly have an autoimmune disease or some kind of disease pop up out of nowhere, it's like, well, what are you holding inside of your body? Like, yeah. What have you not been processing? I have a client right now who's full of inflammation. She's got, you know, tons of arthritis popping up in her joints. And she's like, just realized that she has been holding on to this suffering because she hasn't forgiven herself for something that she did, you know, 8 years ago. And her bringing that awareness into it, she then was like, I slept so well and then woke up the next morning and my body felt like my own again.
Wow.
And so this is the power of just getting curious about your experience and how your body's feeling and how your thoughts are going and what's happening for yeah. you, and hold, and you know, like, you've been working at it for so long that you're like, I now know and hold space for thing like your routine, because you know the outcome is so powerful. But when you're just starting out, it's just like, just those baby steps.
Well, and then, you know, when you're starting out, most likely, and I'll speak for myself. I didn't know these terms and how life on this level works. So basically, the way I dealt with trauma and dealt with my emotions as a teen, you know, because that's when things rise up, was through alcohol, smoking, weed, and, you know, unhealthy relationships. And I didn't work out. I didn't know how to eat healthy. I was not blind. I was just clueless. I had no idea. I had no role models in my life. Mm-hmm. And so like a breakdown at 21 sort of just like cracked me open. And I was like, no, there has to be another way. I'm not going on medicine. And God brought me yoga. And so that was my gateway, but it of course like opened up to wellness and meditation and just making sure like I'm surrounded by positive people, you know, all of those things. But like, then I built my toolbox and just looking back, like I said, how I dealt with things was through such unhealthy behaviors, but I didn't know that was me coping. I just thought that was me living.
Yeah.
And doing what everybody else does.
Yeah. You know? That resonates so hard. I think, you know, I listened to one of your episodes where you were talking about this and I was like, oh, heck yeah. Like, I think I spent like my childhood was pretty, it was a beautiful gift and also full of trauma. And I spent so many years just numbing myself, like taking care of always so many people around me, but drinking too much, doing too many drugs, you know, not like using food and all the different
and food. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think that there's an element of numbness that we try, so many of us try and use as our coping technique. And then, you know, like I'm 41 now and that shit comes up. Like
it does.
Yeah.
It comes up, but you realize looking from this view that because now, like I have all of these tools, like I can go out and not even desire to drink or sometimes not even desire to have a dessert, where there were times where all I can think about was devouring like a huge plate and then having more and then drinking. And like that's how I filled myself up. And I no longer do that, which is so freeing. I can cry, you know?
Yeah. That's huge. That's huge.
So,
I was trying to quietly clap there. Cause it is amazing.
Yes,
it's also like, it's joyful to be, you know, where, when you reach that place, but it's work and effort. And I kind of want to put that out there because it takes so much courage and so much bravery and so much tenacity and resilience and
being honest.
Yeah. And that's fucking terrifying. Sorry.
It is. No, it is.
I've sworn many times.
No, I like it. I'm actually like, I want to swear a little bit more on here.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll come back and I will just
let it rip.
I've been trying to hold it back.
This is so much fun. So, so much fun.
So good.
Yeah. So good. So good for the soul. It's I truly do love having guests on, and I'm so grateful that you reached out, and it ended up working out beautifully. I know we're going to be talking a lot more, and it's just, you know, beautiful little friendship here. So I love that. And I know we are almost running out of time. We have plenty of time, but, let's wrap up this episode by just sharing a little bit like where our listeners can find you. And I do want to say you can find this episode obviously on any podcast platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Pandora, all those things. But I'm moving, like if I'm doing interviews with somebody and it's a video, I'm actually having it on YouTube as well. So if you go to Health with Michaela and under Healthy Style Podcast, you'll see some interviews that I've done with other people, because I know some people like to see like their visual.
Yes, that's so good.
A little bit of both. So mm-hmm. we'll have that on there as well. But go ahead and share where, you know, where we can find you and follow you and like all your stories and all the
things. It's been so good to meet you and get to hold this space. Like, I was just thinking as you were talking there, like, I think that we met on Max. I'm forgetting his last name right now, but you were like, I just started having meat. My body said it needed. I was like, that's amazing.
Is that where? That's so cool. Where? Max Lugavere or something.
Yes. But, he's great.
Yeah, he is great.
So I mean, a good place is my website, which is just gwenjohnson.ca. And there's, I always like people to send people there because there's I have like a pretty good freebie library, which it's all like you just sign up one time and it's all there. There's like sleep support stuff to support sleep and, you know, self-care questionnaires, and there's phytonutrient recipes and a shop the rainbow, eat the rainbow with your, so like a shopping list for kids. And it's all just there. And I have actually never sent out an email newsletter because I'm like, oh my gosh, I get so many. Do you feel like this, Michaela, where you're like swamped with newsletters?
Yes and no. So I don't know what to do with Yes and no, but it's important to, it's important. I want to do a newsletter once a week, and I do that every once in a while, but I try to do at least like once a month or every other week just to pop in there and just share what's going on and whatever podcast has been out, you know? Yeah.
And it's so good too, because it's like encouragement and supportive. Yes. And I feel like I could commit to once a month. I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And people can look forward to that, you know, because yes. if you give value, then it's like, it's something to look forward to and actually read.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that on the website. And then the other place is just Gwen Johnson Official on Instagram. And those are my places. And I do have a podcast called Feeling Good with Gwen, which I will have you on soon. But I do think I'm going to change the name. So that is weird. I don't know how that'll play out.
Oh, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of do like it.
It's like good, but it makes me feel weird.
Feel good. Well, listen, it's okay to switch it, to rebrand it. I did it, halfway here. So we were Love Yourself to Happiness Show, and now we are Healthy Style Podcast, but ultimately we're still the same girl, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't. I know my husband's always like, it doesn't matter. Just
it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. But you want to feel good about it. Right. So yeah. Well, thank you, Gwen, for sharing your time and your space and your wisdom and all of the goodness. And for our listeners, thank you for being here. And if you made it all the way here, I love you. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review. And that is one of the best ways to support the podcast and so to reach more people. And I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Bye.